Hello, and welcome to another episode of Film Favorites. My name is Bryce Vales, and with me as always is my good friend, Aaron Chase.
Hey, Bryce.
Hello, Aaron. Well, Aaron.
Yes, Bryce.
Another episode, another three movies from my list of top 500 favorite films.
Film Favorites.
That's the name of the podcast, Aaron.
There's so many episodes left.
There's so many. We're almost done with the first season, though.
That's exciting, actually.
I think one more after this episode, and we're going to be wrapping it up. So we have that to look forward to. A little break coming up. That'll be nice. But yeah, as always, we're counting down three films from my top 500 favorite films list. I could sum that up a little better, I think. I'll work on it.
Yeah.
But it's just an excuse to talk about movies, watch movies,
yeah,
and not bash them. Just enjoy movies.
Well, that's not what happens in this podcast.
No?
Depends.
I think usually it's pretty positive.
I think as it's gone, it's gotten better. As like it's continued.
You don't think you've gotten acclimated to more types of movies?
I think it's both. I think part of it is that I'm acclimated to black and white, I'm acclimated to the style of the 40s a little more, and I also think that the quality of the films are getting better.
If you say so.
Okay.
I'm
concerned.
With that being said, let's start with my 430th favorite film of all time. I believe the first film from the MCU. You okay?
Uh-huh, I'm excited.
Do you need resuscitation?
No, I'm really curious about this.
Well, it is but not my least favorite. There are quite a number of MCU films, that's one of them, that are not in my top 500. There's only a handful, I would say, that are actually in the top 500. So This is good. My number 430th favorite film of all time is director John Watts's 2017 film, Spider-Man Homecoming.
First off, I love Spider-Man as a character.
100% agree.
Yeah. Into the Spider-Verse, I assume, is much higher on the list somewhere.
It's okay.
We'll see.
It's fine. It's fine.
And I actually think... for my ranking of Spider-Man movies, it's Spider-Verse and then Homecoming.
Oh, you think it's your second favorite?
Yeah, the Raimi ones did not age well for me. And I don't think they were...
I think a couple in particular did not age well. I think one aged better than others.
Spider-Man 2?
I think Spider-Man 2 has aged pretty good.
Everyone consistently is like, oh, Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Spider-Man 2 has aged pretty well. For, like, superhero movies of its era?
Yeah.
I think it's done okay.
I agree. So it goes Spider-Verse, then Homecoming, then Spider-Man 2 for me, and then it doesn't matter after that.
I remember when... We'll go off on a Spider-Man tangent here for a second.
Because
we're not going to watch it.
No, we're not.
So let's get it out now.
Yeah.
I remember when Far From Home came out, you really dug it.
Wait, which one we're talking...
Homecoming is the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to rewatch it.
Sure.
It's been a minute, but my initial experience of it, I really enjoyed it.
It's been several minutes.
It's been a lot of minutes.
It's been quite a few
minutes. Many
minutes
since I've seen Far From Home. But I really liked Homecoming because we didn't need to see the origin. We know.
We've seen it how many times in the last decade?
Yeah, we know. Yeah. And I'm glad that these movies are all understanding that now. They're all very aware. Like, we all fucking know. The Vulture.
It's a good villain. It wasn't one of my favorites in the comics, but...
The way they treated it...
It was really well done
in
the movie. Yeah.
Clever. I'm not even going to spoil it. There's a twist.
There's a few reasons. Well, let's get into... why it's on the list where it is on the list for me.
Okay.
The twist is one of them. It's a good twist.
It is really.
It's a good twist. Vulture, I love Michael Keaton. I think he does a really good job. I think he's one of the MCU's better villains.
I agree.
I think top tier. He's not as big or showy as some of them, but he's solid.
Yeah.
And he's intimidating in the right ways.
When he brought out a gun?
The car scene.
Oh my God.
Is another reason. That whole sequence.
Yeah.
Is really good. The main reason it's on my list at all, because by and large, I think it's a pretty blasé film.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I think the way it's shot, the way it's edited, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think if it weren't for these several things that lift it up, it would be completely middle of the road, kind of forgettable MCU film. But Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Is phenomenal.
Tom Holland is Spider-Man.
He's perfect.
He's charming and likable and in shape. Not in like in he has the like Tobey Maguire got buff or whatever. Did he get buff? Was that like CG or did he?
No, really he got buff.
Good for him.
Yeah,
he got buff, and Andrew Garfield is probably in shape or whatever.
I'm sure he was. I don't remember.
But Tom Holland, there's something about his body type.
He's very lean, and I think a part of it is just because he is young.
Yeah, he does look. He looks like he could be in high school. That's another thing that. I would say the thing that lowers it, and the reason why I'm not upset that it's this low on your list, is that it doesn't work as a standalone film.
That's another big reason why a lot of MCU films aren't on my list, is because I'm fine with series. I'm fine with films connecting. The MCU has gotten to a point where, like, I'm split 50-50. On the one hand, it's really cool
that they're doing that.
That they're able to connect all these films and all these characters and have it be a mostly cohesive franchise. And so interwoven, that's kind of the negative. It's so interwoven. They all are. Very few MCU films really do stand on their own. I think a couple do.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple stand as a part of a smaller group of films better than... Like, both Spider-Man films, this and Far From Home, which is not on my list, I like it almost as much as Homecoming. I love Jake Gyllenhaal, period, in anything. He's wonderful.
I can't wait till we see Nightcrawler on the list, which I know has to be.
What? Never heard of it.
Okay.
But Mysterio, going back to my childhood, was always one of my favorite villains.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I loved Mysterio. He's so silly.
Yeah.
And he's connected to movies. He's a special effects guy.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's cool too. I like movies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But, I think they did a really good job bringing him to the big screen, because it's a task bringing
that's really
character.
Hard to do that, yeah.
Like, and make him be an actual villain, but they did a really great job.
The fucking with his head sequence.
Both of those were great.
Yeah. There's not much
that's
to say.
That's that. I could go on and on. I like Spider-Man. I think this is a good Spider-Man film. Like you said, doesn't really stand on its own. It is so much a puzzle piece in this bigger MCU puzzle that it kind of gets lost in the mix. But it has some nice things that elevate it into a movie I quite like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paulie.
Polly. Oh, you're funny.
Funny how?
But
it's so sad that's not on my list.
I wish that was
501.
Yeah.
That sucks. Okay, moving on.
Okay.
To my 429th favorite film of all time. Interesting sort of kind of connection to the last one. A Sam Raimi film.
Okay.
The last one of which you quite enjoyed, Darkman.
Oh, yeah.
It
was very high.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The director of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films,
of course.
His 1992 film, Army of Darkness.
That's the sequel to Evil Dead.
That is the sequel to Evil Dead 2. That's the third one in the trilogy.
Oh, okay. So there's Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness.
Yes.
And Army of Darkness is about it. Why is Army of Darkness as low as it is?
It is, spoiler alert, for a bit.
Should I not hear this?
Nah, it's fine.
Okay.
It's my least favorite of the three Evil Dead films. Mm-hmm. The other two will be on the list higher up.
So I'm going to watch it backwards, potentially.
Potentially.
Okay.
If you choose it, and if that's the way it works out.
Yeah.
But it's my least favorite because I think it goes... I feel like I should just spoil all of them. Like, the ranking of them.
Well, I know... Because... I know things about them.
Yeah, well, it's just, like, tonally, they're all so very different.
Mm.
The first Evil Dead is a horror comedy, I think, that leans heavily into the horror side. There's some really funny, darkly funny things in it. But I'd say it's a horror film first with a good dose of comedy.
Okay.
The Evil Dead 2, I think, is one of the few A-class horror comedy films.
Mm-hmm.
It is a horror comedy, equal parts
So like think, Shaun of the Dead?
Like Shaun of the Dead.
Okay.
It's that sort of tier. It balances both of those rather well, not perfectly, but really well, I think. There's some wonderful sequences in it. Bruce Campbell, who's the lead in all three, is great. Evil Dead 3, Army of Darkness, I don't want to call it Evil Dead 3. Army of Darkness.
Comedy.
So far comedy. There's a couple of spooky moments. There's like one or two horror moments, but because the tone of the film is so comedic, it just, it loses that horror. And it's very slapstick, it's very silly, and it's fun, but I can't help but yearn for a better balance like the second one, or even the first one, being like, it started out as a horror franchise, and it became a comedy franchise, which is kind of neat.
It's interesting.
But
as a standalone film, it's just not.
It's fine. I think it's a decent film. I think it is fun. I like Sam Raimi's style. I like Bruce Campbell as a lead. I want him to be the lead in more films. He was apparently going to play Mysterio in the fourth Sam Raimi Spider-Man film. Probably not as like the main villain, probably as a side villain, but that would have been really fun. He's a fun actor. But yeah, I think it's fun. It's enjoyable. It's wacky. I'm a little let down by it in respect to
the
films that came before. Yeah.
Right now, obviously I can't watch Spider-Man Homecoming, but right now I wouldn't be upset if this is the movie we're watching.
I'm sure not.
I don't know much about it, so we'll see.
Do you know anything about Evil Dead?
I know that they're in a cabin.
Mm-hmm.
I know that... I remember like a skeleton...
Skeleton eye.
And then something about him working in a grocery store.
That's from the third one. That's from Army of Darkness.
Oh, okay.
Like some kind of like Walmart type store. I can't remember what they call it.
He has like an arm chainsaw or some crazy shit.
He loses his hand in the second one.
Of course he does.
And chainsaw hand. But,
The
third one is the most out there. They change up the setting. The first two are set in the cabin.
Yeah.
But the third one takes it out into a really interesting place.
Yeah.
And time.
Okay. I guess we'll have to see what...
We'll have to see. Because you have one more option to choose from, Aaron.
205. Fuck! 429?
That was Army of Darkness.
Oh, okay.
My 428th favorite film of all time, the great director Ronald Neame's 1972 film, The Poseidon Adventure.
Okay. I will hear this out.
You will? And you'll pick it, right?
Oh, Brad.
The Poseidon Adventure is my favorite of... There was sort of a surge of disaster films at this time.
In the 70s?
Yeah.
Huh.
Airport, Towering Inferno, Earthquake.
What was going on socially that made that happen?
I think just Towering Inferno did really well.
Oh, money.
And, yeah.
Okay, money.
And they were the big special effects movies of the time. Mm-hmm. And this is my favorite of that type of film. It's got a great cast. Gene Hackman, early in his career, he's the lead. Ernest Borgnine, Shelley Winters, who actually was nominated for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for this film. Roddy McDowell of Planet of the Apes fame. Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, he's an actor.
This was before he switched over to comedy.
He's dead, right?
He is dead.
Okay, so I can share.
Yeah.
All right, you say...
But it's great cast.
Yeah.
I think it's a really fun special effects driven movie. It's about a cruise ship that there's an underwater earthquake and a tidal wave flips the ship over.
Okay.
And so it's all these people just trying to get to the bottom of the ship, which is the top of the ship.
Nice. I like that.
It's a fun concept, fun setting for this kind of film. And so it's this small group of people with Gene Hackman like, we gotta get to the top, which is the bottom.
I hope there's a line. I hope he says it.
It probably is. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but it's a childhood favorite of mine. Mm. It's really fun. Speaking of Oscars, because it was nominated for a boatload.
Puns.
You could have done the real rim shot for me, Aaron. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It had 8 Oscar noms, Shelley Winters,
okay,
for supporting actress, nominated for cinematography, art direction, costuming, editing, sound, and musical score by John Williams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is pretty early in his career as well, just a few years before Jaws. And it won 2 Oscars.
Okay.
So it was nominated for 8, it won 1 of them.
Okay.
For Best Original Song, The Morning After. If you heard it, you might recognize it. It's a really popular song from the time. I'm not going to sing it because I'm either going to sing it so pitch perfectly that we're going to get like a copyright claim, or I'm going to butcher it, embarrass myself. Mm-hmm. And it's like a 50-50 coin flip, honestly, which one it would be. So either one.
Let's not even flip the coin.
Let's not. Let's just not do it. And it also won a Special Achievement Award for Best Special Effects, Best Visual Effects. That's before they had a regular annual award.
Didn't Star Wars make that happen? The visual thing?
Make it happen?
They added a category.
They added the regular category after Star Wars. Star Wars also won a special achievement for it. You should really see the film that won a special achievement in 1976, the year before, and compare it to Star Wars.
Bad.
It's really funny. Yes, it's bad by today's standards.
Yeah, obviously. Star Wars is bad by today's standards.
I don't want to hear it. It's actually a really fun movie. Yeah. Cool concept, high concept type disaster film. I enjoyed it a lot.
I'm going to pick Evil Dead.
That's okay. Well, that wasn't an option, so I'm going to pick the Poseidon Adventure.
Fuck! I mean, supermarket movie. I'm going to pick the supermarket movie, not the boat movie. But I gotta say, the only reason I'm doing that, I would have been kind of adventurous if it wasn't for how goddamn hot it is and how awful of a day I've had.
Well, both of these movies will probably make you feel hot. And bothered.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Chain thaw.
Or that.
That's what I'm into.
All right, Aaron. Well, you make me sad.
Yeah. It happens.
You could have picked a movie that I like one slot higher.
Yep, could have.
But you didn't.
I did not do that. This is my part. This is my level of control over this podcast.
Fair enough. I'm going to do some swapping around for the next episode so that you have nothing but terrible options.
Okay.
Okay. Well, before that, though, we're going to sit down and watch director Ronald Neame's 1972 film, The Poseidon Adventure.
What are we watching, Brent?
Director Sam Raimi's 1992 film, Army of Darkness.
I'm excited.
So, Aaron.
Yes, Bryce.
Tell me about what happens in in Sam Raimi's 1992 film, Army of Darkness.
Well, our main character, Ash, is sent back in time. Be perfectly honest, don't fully understand how or why, but he is sent back in time through like a wormhole.
It's the Book of the Dead.
Yeah, there he goes. The Book of the Dead sends him back in time.
Yeah.
And he ends up in like the medieval?
Yeah, 1300 or so.
There's knights. Mm-hmm. There's knights and castles and flaming arrows. That's the era it is. And then in order to return home to his time, he must find the book, the necromancy.
Necronomicon.
The Necronomicon. He must find this book to return home. And that is essentially what the movie's about.
So, I know you haven't seen the first 2 Evil Dead films.
I have not.
Having said that, how does it compare? No.
I actually think it would have been, I mean, this is just, you know, not how it worked out, but I think it would have been better to watch them in order.
I would agree.
I get the vibe that it's like One Punch Man. If you don't understand anime, you don't understand why it's as funny as it is.
Mm.
So I understood, I knew what Evil Dead was, so I understood the context of why this was funny. And there's a lot of stuff in it that was just generally funny. But I think the experience of watching the first two allows the third one to feel like a kind of like a book ending. But I haven't seen them, so I don't
right.
know.
Right. I agreed with the first thing that you said about the necessity of having seen the first two films, I think, differently, though, because it shows you the progression of how we get from point A, which is a very standard...
Horror movie.
Exactly. Very standard, low-budget, indie, you know, haunted cabin in the woods type deal. And then getting from that to this.
Yeah.
It's an interesting journey. And I think that would have been the reason to see it in order. I don't feel like the film acts as a very good bookend.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Exactly.
Film, so.
It's hard for you to say, but it's so different from the first two films. It just kind of like morphs into this weird thing.
The vibe I got was the first two, it's either do exactly the same thing or go completely left field from what it seems like. But I've never seen them, so.
No, the first one builds off the first one.
Second one builds off?
Tonally and stylistically. It's just like a more extreme version of the first film with a bit more comedy. The second one just leans so far into comedy. Third one,
right,
Army
right.
of Darkness.
Which
is
yeah.
fun. I think it's really interesting.
It is interesting, but I think the issue, and this is just an issue with humor. The humor doesn't age well.
Mm-hmm.
Like a genre or a style of humor in its era is one thing, and there's a timing thing about it. And I know it was meant to be this way, but there's this awkward, like it's almost lasting just too long.
Pause for the laugh.
Yeah,
holding. It's holding for the applause.
Is
the
that what it's doing?
I feel like it is, because the film is very purposefully riffing on older styles of film.
Right.
There's a lot of Three Stooges
yeah.
Type humor, like just...
Literally,
stolen,
yeah.
Just lifted from Three Stooges, pulling the hand up in front of your face so the two
yeah.
fingers can't poke out your eyes. Whoop, whoop, whoop. But not just that, but the types of film that's emulating it, like, they're obviously going for, like, a...
B-movie?
No. Older, like a classic adventure film, like Jason
yeah.
and the Argonauts.
Yeah, the
Harry
skeletons.
Harryhausen sort of, like, stop-motion animation, which there's some stop-motion in the... At least in... Yeah, no, I think in all of them. But like this very old style classic skeletons with swords and rear screen projection and the puppets and all that. And, but not just that, but the cinematography. There's a style and the tone of the knights themselves.
Yes.
Because they all play it straight.
Yes, they do.
Extremely straight. Which I don't think would be as funny if everyone was like...
Being wacky.
Exactly. He's the odd man out. A fish out of water, man at a time. But... juxtaposing that with this very not realistic like chivalry, just old school
style
old school adventure film
right
is interesting, especially if you like and have at least seen
yeah
some of those movies, which I don't know if you have.
I've seen them and they're not my cup of tea.
No,
I would say this movie I never need to watch it again, but I don't mean that in a it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I just like I was like, oh okay. There was a, you know what, it really started losing me was the end battle. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
It goes on
it.
A bit.
Yeah, it's like, there's, the spectacle, first off, the whole thing is spectacle. So by the time you get to that version of this, or that part of the spectacle, I'm like, all right, I get it. I get you're having a battle. What's next? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this movie is completely held up by Bruce Campbell's performance.
Held up.
Meaning, this movie, I don't think any of those movies probably work without Bruce Campbell.
It's interesting. You see him grow as an actor, actually, especially between the first one and the second one. I'm interested for you to see Ash in the beginning. It's a very different character.
Okay. Well, what I saw is just if I'm watching it on its own, this does not work without him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't work without his facial expressions, his body. Like, it reminded me of a... more control Jim Carrey.
Huh.
Like, when you watch Jim Carrey be Jim Carrey, there's this wiggliness about it, whereas as he felt boxy, almost. Like, he felt very controlled in his body and
like
his facial.
Like the Popeye features. Cartoon.
Yeah.
Versus,
versus, I don't know, other things.
Woody the Woodpecker. I don't know who Jim Carrey is.
Yeah. But it was a silly romp. There's not really much else to say about it.
No, I disagree.
All right.
I haven't talked about Bruce Campbell. I agree. I think he carries the film. Because tonally, the comedy rests on him.
Solely on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even his evil self. Yeah. Which, I'm glad you liked the part that sticks out in my mind whenever I think of this movie, about this movie. That,
yeah,
that immediately comes to mind. Really, so I'm glad that connected with you. I'm like, oh, that's just a neat little bit, but I also really like it.
Yeah.
Or some standout scenes for you. Because there's a lot of little sequences, little vignettes.
Yeah, when his body was becoming another version of him, that was fascinating. Physically, visually, that was really good.
The eyeball on his shoulder, and then just like the two torsos.
Yes. I like the makeup in general, but I think that goes without saying.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
They haven't seen it.
The makeup, the what is it, the costume design?
Well, those are two different things, but yeah, makeup and
both
costume.
Both makeup and costume design were very, clearly put a lot of heart and work into it. I think because we live in this CG world, watching physically, like, you know that's physically, that you can just feel it. It's hard to explain.
Even the good ones, you know.
Yeah.
But you kind of know that with most CG nowadays as well.
There's
subtle things that, like, really trying to be invisible, blending in with reality type deals that CG is really good at. But, really, like, anything that's trying to be even remotely fantastical,
you know. No. Yeah.
It's just, there's a different feeling to it. There's a sheen versus this sort of globby.
Yeah, it's very putty.
You see the seam of the... And in the latex and the mask.
It adds a level. I charm. That's what it is. This movie has a lot of charm.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, like, not the little movie that could. But I think Evil Dead's probably the little movie that could.
Very much so. And, extremely low budget.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I would say I enjoy it. There's just, for me, there's just not much to say about it. Like, it is what it is. It's a silly comedy, horror, gross out. Slapstick, time travel, medieval, adventure, comedy? Like, it's a lot of things.
Do you think it all meshes?
I think the hardest part for me to say about the comedy, it's just too awkward. Like, it's too slow, it's too waiting for the laugh.
Vaudevillian?
Yeah, it's super vaudevillian, and I think I consume a good deal of comedy now, and modern comedy is like really snappy now. So sometimes it could be hard to click into that older style of comedy. But I appreciate it. Like, I have a lot of respect for it and what they did. It was entertaining.
Hmm. What separates it? What's the difference between it and something like Darkman, the movie he directed just before this, which you quite enjoyed?
I think part of it is just this build. Like, I think it's because I watched the third one first.
Mm-hmm.
Because Darkman is its own thing, right? There's no other...
Yeah, that's the first one in a...
Yeah.
I think there's three.
Well, regardless.
There's one, Darkman.
Darkman felt like this is a genre. There's one genre, and it happens to be very fantastical, or it has that Sam Raimi touch. Whereas this felt like a bunch of shit put into one movie.
Mm.
And so it felt a little unfocused, I guess.
That's interesting. I'll wrap it up. But I always, like, I think there's a lot of genres at play in Darkman. There's a lot of gothic horror. There's a lot of comedy. There's trying to be this weird superhero thing and gangster movie.
That's true.
It's pretty all over the place, tonally, and...
Maybe I need to rewatch it. I don't know.
But I agree, now having watched them pretty close to... together, I think they're going to be shifting a bit in my list.
Really?
I think I prefer Darkman to this. I still enjoy this. I'm not upset about it being on the list. It's definitely more my type of movie than yours.
I appreciated it, though.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you liked it. Would you recommend it to anybody?
Yeah. I would recommend... I would say it's... If you want to turn off your brain and ignore what's going on in the world... whatever that is, and whatever time people listen, because there's always something. But if you want to just hey, don't watch it alone. Watch it with people.
Yeah, it's a good buddy movie.
Yeah,
watch
yeah.
it, sharing the what the hell was that kind of laughter.
Yeah, yeah. I would.
And the,
I
and
would,
the skeleton puns.
Yeah, a lot of those.
So many bone puns.
I would suggest it for people if you can enjoy and just click off and just have fun with it. It's fun. That's kind of what I would say about it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you overall liked it.
Yes, I did.
Well, Aaron.
Yes, Bryce.
Until next time.
Until next time.
This has been a Buddy System presentation of Film Favorites.